Welcome to the Beyond Your Beliefs podcast. Are you ready to go beyond your beliefs? Hello and welcome back. Welcome back to the Beyond Your Beliefs podcast, where we inspire you to go beyond the boundaries of your beliefs. I am your host, Jerrica.
I'm your host, Toya.
Welcome to the space. All right, y'all, we're back with another episode. And today we are discussing the different levels of consciousness.
Yes. I didn't realize that there were, a couple, actually. Some, I see where it has a pre-conscious, maybe? Did you see that?
Yeah, uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So that's something like, how do you explain it? It's something like it's before conscious, right? Or is it right after?
I want to say that I saw it used interchangeably with subconscious, but I could be wrong.
Well, I'll stick to the other ones then.
Okay. So before we get started, just a few things. So you guys, in the previous episode, we talked about the law of attraction and manifesting. And I just want to say that topic has been on my heart since we did the episode, and I was even listening to other people have conversations about this, and of course going back to some of those more difficult topics and experiences. And one of the ones that kept coming up was like, so like, how does that work with like slavery? Like, does that mean that people of color attracted that experience to themselves? And I have not edited that episode yet, so I can't say for sure whether we touched on what I'm about to say or not. But I wanted to say that I definitely believe that we attract and create as individuals, but we also do it on the collective level, and that energy is amplified when there are more numbers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I wanted to say, one, that when you have a group of people who are autonomous, they are blessed, they're fruitful, and they're doing great things, you're going to have those dark energies sometimes that's going to want to come in and squash mm-hmm. all of that. Mm-hmm. And if we're minding our business, not thinking about needing to be protected or thinking about our safety because we're so comfortable in our space, we're so comfortable around each other, it can definitely invite the darkness mm-hmm. And people with malicious intent to come in and want to break that up. And if they are collectively agreeing that they want to take over another group of people or something like that, they're putting forth the energy to make it happen, whereas we are not even thinking about it or worrying about it. So mm-hmm. in that case, we have not attracted the experience to ourselves, but they have attracted the experience to themselves as the captors and the colonizers, because they put the energy towards making it happen. Mm-hmm. So then, because we are not on this planet alone, there's your energy, but you're also affected by the energy of other groups of people or people in general. Mm-hmm.
It's like kind of like one of the episodes that Abraham Hicks had about wanting to be in a relationship, but the person doesn't seem attracted to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're putting forth this energy. And then one of the episodes, she was saying how a lady was saying how the guy she wanted, he wasn't giving her any attention, and they had been friends for years, and she was in love and wanted the relationship. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, okay, so then you put your energy towards it, but you know, you start to do things to attract that person to you. It was basically like, you know, if you do this, not put your attention to them directly, but mm-hmm. you know, indirectly, you know that you want this, you set your intentions.
It's the free will.
You want. Right.
It's the free will, because we, mm-hmm. you know, people also, just like we're all gods here. We all have the God particle within us that gives us the ability to create our own realities. Mm-hmm. And the ability itself is neutral. So you can use it for good, or what we define good as, or you mm-hmm. can use it for bad, or what we define bad as. Mm-hmm. But it's mm-hmm. all about the consciousness at the end of the day and free will. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. just wanted to touch on that too, because I thought that was really important. And I really, really, really just did not want the episode to come off like we were not being sensitive, and to come off, you know, dry, or, you know, like we were trying to just say, oh, it's just your fault and that's it. And I know mm-hmm. we put the caveat in that episode, but since it was still on my heart, I just kind of wanted to circle back around really quick. So now, today's episode being focused on different levels of consciousness, I thought it would be good, Toya, for us to start the episode by defining what our opinions or what we believe consciousness is. So mm-hmm. I'll let you start and then I'll give my two cents.
Consciousness is what you're knowingly aware of. You're aware of what you're doing, what you're thinking. When you're setting your intentions, you're conscious. To me, that's how I look at it. I'm just aware, a heightened awareness of what's going on, or what it is that I want, or I think that I want.
The awareness.
The awareness of what you're doing, or how much you are aware depends on your level of consciousness, of course. But you're creating your reality with your consciousness.
Okay.
When you're conscious. Well, you're creating it, but I don't want to get that mixed up with the subconscious and the manifesting of it. But you're knowingly creating, you're trying to create your reality, but you're aware of what you're doing.
Okay. And I would definitely agree with that. Y'all know I'm a bit of a nerd, so mm-hmm. I'm going to drop some etymology really quick. So conscious derives from the Latin word conscious, which means knowing or aware. So Toya is definitely on the money with stating that consciousness is awareness. Okay, so consciousness is the state of being aware, or the state of knowing. But in my own experience and research and studies, I've also found consciousness to be consisting of three things that contribute to it as a whole. And so one, I would say consciousness is a medium, meaning that it's a means of transmission and a channel for communication. So it's literally like the way that information can get from one place to another. I also think that consciousness is a tool of perception, and that's like your ability to observe and perceive something. And then last, I think that consciousness is a hardwired ability to create, and this ability cannot be separated from the existence of itself. So it's like you could not be conscious if you wanted to. There's consciousness exists, and so we inherently had it. So that's what consciousness means to me. So we're going to get into what in this the more free spiritual conversation would be considered like the different levels of consciousness. And so we know that consciousness is our awareness. It's the awareness that's happening like right now, meaning that you can recall a memory right now. But then we have supra conscious, we have subconscious, we have unconscious. So we're going to break those down. Toya, which one do you want to start with?
Well, the unconscious is, the conscious, you know, that's your, you consciously may control a situation, right? But when you're unconscious, I think that's a little bit you know, a little bit different when you're unconscious, because you're like in, you're in this, you're asleep, you're in a slumber. So with unconsciousness, I don't think that you're creating anything how you would do with the subconscious. When you're unconscious, I just think that you're just that in that state of sleep. What do you think as far as the unconscious?
I think I agree. Consciousness is literally information that vibrates from like an energetic or energy healing standpoint. We would say consciousness is information that vibrates. So if you are unconscious, because consciousness exists, I think that the information is there, but your inability to witness the information is what makes you unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
So consciousness is the active awareness. Unconscious could be the inactive or the inability to witness the awareness.
All right. So then let's just get into the subconsciousness. The subconscious just allows you to, the subconscious things are the things that you do naturally. And I found it interesting that, you know, that the 95% of the time we do operate in our subconscious mind.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you eat, you walk, you talk, you're not thinking about it. You just do these things naturally. You get up, you know, you clean, whatever it is that you're doing most of the day, basically that's your entire day, 95%. You're in your subconscious, you're unaware, you're not thinking about anything that you're doing. And I think that that's why the subconscious is so important to work on, because you're doing it unbeknownst to you. You're aware that you're doing it because you're conscious, but you're doing it without thought. You're not putting thought into, well, how do I walk? You know, how am I moving my arms right now? You just do it. It just is.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what the subconscious, you know, represents to me. And with your subconscious, that stores your beliefs and your values, and it's that memory. Mm-hmm. Your subconscious is your memory, and you just packed it away and you keep going on daily. So your subconscious, it goes, it's, how do I want to say that? The subconscious, it affects everything that you do. Walk, like I said, walk, talk, any movement, anything that you're doing, pretty much is going to be by your subconscious. So to me, your subconscious is the leader.
And oh, definitely.
When we're, you know, and we, because consciousness, we're aware of it, sometimes we think what we're saying consciously is the lead, because that's what we're feeling right now in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But that it's not the leader. I believe that your subconscious is the leader.
Yes, I definitely think that the subconscious is definitely the programming.
Mm-hmm.
It's the programmed parts of us that is running when our consciousness is focused on the one thing. So for example, if you were to take out your smartphone and open up the camera app, right? Usually I know for the iPhone, if you tap the screen, you get this little yellow box that shows you what you're focusing on. So that focus would be the conscious.
Mm-hmm.
And then the blurriness that's in the background would be the subconscious. It's like, you know, it's there, but there aren't as many details. So like, if you're in your room and you're focused on your computer, but you have your coffee cup next to you, there's a calendar, a lamp, you're aware that those things are there, but you just don't have all the details. So with our subconscious being tied to our beliefs, these are things that we know. You know what your beliefs are, but you don't have the details, meaning you may not know exactly where they derive from, but you know it. So for example, it's like your religion. You know that you believe what you believe as far as your religion goes, but you may not know exactly how or at what point it may have been introduced to you, and you may not know if how much of it you have soaked in. Mm-hmm. But with the subconscious, if you do a little bit of work, it can eventually come up. Whereas I think with the unconscious, I think the unconscious has been repressed so much that mm-hmm. you're truly unable to find the root cause of why the issue is there.
Mm-hmm. Right. And sometimes with the subconscious, it's very hard to determine the root. I was reading Psychology Today. I like to read that, just different things about psychology. Mm-hmm. And there was a post about you say you're jealous of your son, and there's a little hint of jealousy there, and you don't know where it's coming from. You don't mm-hmm. know why you're feeling this way towards your mm-hmm. son. And then you subconsciously, you realize, if you can get down to your subconscious mind, subconsciously you realize that the feeling that you have is because of the freedom that your son has. So you're a little bit jealous how they're free, and it seems like everything comes easy for them. And so you pick up that jealousy from there. And I thought that was interesting, because mm-hmm. I would think that maybe at that young age, I would look at it like this: at that young age, your son's young, and at that age, maybe you didn't have the same freedom. Mm-hmm. And so then subconsciously, you didn't have that freedom. So at that time, that's where the confusion comes, because at 22, you may not have had that freedom. But at that time, those feelings were conscious.
Okay.
But then they were stored subconsciously.
Mm-hmm.
And now if you're 48 and now you have a son that's 22 or 23 and you're seeing them living their best life, and now, and you don't understand what's this grudge that you have against your son. You don't understand, like, mm-hmm. what's the problem? Like, why don't I like him? Or what's going on with him? Or he just get on my nerves, or whatever the case may be. You didn't realize, because growing up, y'all were fine. It's subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
That it's not directly to that child. It's your situation. It's your situation. So a lot of times, it helped me realize that a lot of times when people have issues with other people, it's not about the person that you have the issue with. Mm-hmm. It's about you. It's about your personal issues within yourself and how you view the situation based on you. It has nothing to do with the other person.
I agree.
And so I thought that was interesting, that for something just like that, that's how subtle the subconscious mind can be, where you don't even realize that you've picked this up. You've harbored these feelings that you couldn't go out and you couldn't do this and you couldn't do that. You couldn't have this freedom. And so now all these feelings are there. You didn't even realize they were there. You went on with life, and now your child is at this stage and they're doing everything that you could have imagined you would have been doing. You know what I mean? Or you mm-hmm. wanted to do, and now there's this grudge and you don't even know where it's coming from. You don't know where it stems from. And that's why it's the work that you have to put into getting down to who you are as a person, and why you feel the way that you feel, and how you, why you believe the things that you believe. Do you know, the world would be so amazing if everyone took that negative energy that they had towards another person and uh-huh. focused on themselves.
Oh yeah.
To heal whatever's wrong with them, or address whatever issue they have with them themselves. Mm-hmm. It would be such an amazing place.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And like I said, between your consciousness and your subconscious, it's literally just a matter of focus. Like mm-hmm. the example I gave with the camera app. Your subconscious, those are just things that's just not in the focal awareness, but mm-hmm. it's still in the background, like it's still mm-hmm. in the environment. So when it comes to changing our beliefs, or if we want to change our thoughts about something, we can start by trying to shift the focus And then that way we can tap into and shed a light on the things that are programmed in the subconscious mind. Whereas mm-hmm. with the unconscious mind, it cannot be seen at all. It's not in mm-hmm. view. It's not in the environment. And so the only way to really tap into those things is probably from somebody outside of you. Mm-hmm. Because at that point, with it being so outside of your awareness, it would take somebody outside of you to show it to you or reflect mm-hmm. it back to you in some sort of way. And then you could work on the issues from that standpoint. Mm-hmm. But the likelihood of you being able to tap into what's in your unconscious by yourself, that could be difficult. That could be difficult, potentially with like some maybe recorded hypnotherapy sessions or self-hypnosis. Mm-hmm. It's possible that you could do that, or some sort of dream recall or past life regression or some sort of regression therapy to take you back, then you could definitely get there. Mm-hmm. But I would say just adjust your focal point, and that can take you back and forth between the conscious and the subconscious. And then if you want to tap into the unconscious, you may need a third party to help you out.
Oh yeah, yeah. And with your subconscious too, because it's programmed in your memory, it takes time. It takes some time mm-hmm. to get that out of there. Rewire.
Rewire. It takes
time
yes.
to rewire. And so, you know, I say, you know, be patient with it. And like you said, find that focal point, focus on that. And then you'll start to change. And then you'll really become aligned with what it is that you're believing consciously. Your subconscious will start to come into agreement with you.
Yes.
If you maintain that focal point.
Yes, exactly. So then we have the supraconscious. And the supraconscious is where you have done the work and you are able to merge your consciousness with your subconsciousness mm-hmm. at the same time. So you are aware of both.
Right. And that right there, what is it? A Friendship with God. Neil Donald Walsh, he talks about the consciousness, your level of experience based on your consciousness. Mm. And the superconscious is, well, the superconscious is, he says that that's when you know and you create your reality. He considers that the soul level.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's your connection with the universe. Mm. It's how he had stated that soul level, that super conscious. And I do like the fact that even with Abraham Hicks talks about when that consciousness and that subconsciousness meet together,
mm-hmm.
you can manifest quickly.
And like, that's where you're taking responsibility for what you mm-hmm. create. That's you mm-hmm. literally taking the responsibility, taking the reins, and creating your reality. That's operating mm-hmm. in your super conscious or your supra conscious.
Right. And then you don't have those years and waiting for everything to manifest. And it's just that kind of like what we said last week about just becoming that frequency, having mm-hmm. that frequency so that the universe can bring to you whatever it is that you're trying to attract.
Mm-hmm.
That's your super consciousness. Or super consciousness is there.
Mm. I've heard somebody to explain it like the conscious or the subconscious mind is what you are, and the conscious mind is what you do.
Hmm. I can see that.
I can see that too.
I can see that. I like
that's
it.
That's really interesting.
Who you are, your subconscious is who you are. Yeah, I can see that.
Right? Like,
because it's that thing, it's that natural thing you do without thinking about doing it. This
exactly.
is me. This is who I am. This is how I think. This is how I move.
Exactly.
You know, and I can see that. I like it.
And so then when what you do meets who you are, now you're creating your reality.
Yeah. I like it.
Gems.
Now you talk.
I like that. Chris Brown I like
voice.
That.
I do.
You know, and there's a quote by Carl Jung that says, until you make the unconscious conscious, it will control your life and you will call it fate.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, you think it's by chance or
right
serendipity,
mm-hmm. serendipity.
And,
right?
Yeah, and so, well, you know, it's like, yeah, yeah, absolutely. Okay,
that's interesting. That's interesting because to even get into the conversation of fate versus free will, that's a whole nother podcast episode. But
I know because we like fate. We like it. We think, you know, it's cute.
Yeah.
It was meant to be. It's destined. Mm-hmm. You're not thinking you're attracted.
It makes you feel special. When it's, yeah. When it's a good or quote unquote positive fate, you feel chosen by God. Like you got this special event that took place just for you. And it feels good.
Yeah. The problem for me personally is I'll start thinking of God only outside of me.
Exactly.
I'll start thinking it's happening to me, you know, mm-hmm. I'll start. So for me personally, you know, if people can, you know, it, then that's good. But for mm-hmm. me, if I start running into a lot of things that I'm like, it's fate and I'm not spearheading this mm-hmm. and everything is just happening and working out for me and God is just doing it, I'm going to put God outside of me.
Yep.
I'm going to, and that's a lot of me having that, you know, religious background.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start to feel like I have to pray to this being and I'm waiting for this being to give me something or do something for me. But you know, another day, but that's where I would get stuck.
Me personally. Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. And Neil Donner Walsh says, the Holy Trinity, the Holy Triad, is a construction which is found in every aspect of life, whether it is body, mind, and spirit, or whether it is conscious, subconscious, and superconscious.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's another way to mm-hmm. help to explain the difference between the conscious, subconscious, and superconscious is to say body, mind, spirit. The conscious mm-hmm. being the body, the subconscious being the mind, and the superconscious being the spirit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, as we begin to, you know, study, as we're studying and we're becoming more intentional with things, then we'll see, mm-hmm. you know, how, where we are. We'll be able to identify what's happening consciously or subconscious. What are you creating?
Mm-hmm.
Or what's just happening to you?
Mm-hmm.
You'll start to learn it. And then just, and it's still, even I tell myself daily, like I try to be conscious of what I'm doing and, you know, every day. But even with that, because I do things subconsciously so much, I still will forget sometimes to consciously do things.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes a lot of focus.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of focus.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. And I'd like to touch on this a little bit too. In the Hindu faith, Satguru mentions the seven dimensions of the mind and divides consciousness into seven categories. And they range from the gross to the extremely subtle. So the first two describe physical existence, the inside and outside of things. The third dimension is mankind's normal level of consciousness, consisting of thoughts and emotions about our own as well as others' lives. The fourth through the seventh, so 4, 5, 6, and 7, those dimensions can be described as the inner mystical or higher realms of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
They are within everyone, but requires training and practice to be accessed with continuity. This unique framework is useful in providing guidance in our efforts to access inner states of consciousness. And it requires knowing which dimension of the mind the inner state is in. So I definitely think that's interesting. And it kind of made me think about the chakras too. So have you heard?
Oh, that is because that is the same. This I like the, you know, the seven and all of that.
Right.
It would fall into that place. I like that too.
So they break it down even more to say that the first dimension, the inside of physical objects that you cannot see or touch. The second dimension, all physical objects that you can see and touch. So that's what it meant by the in and out of things for the first and second dimension. The third dimension is the interrelated magnetic forces that exist between people and people and their things. The fourth dimension is the awareness cognizing the interrelated forces of the fifth, fourth, and third dimensions, a natural state for those who meditate. Fifth dimension is awareness of forms in their totality in progressive states of manifestation. The sixth dimension, the rarefied area of the mind where forms are conceived of inner sounds and colors. And the seventh dimension is awareness expanded into endless inner space.
So that's like the crown chakra.
Oh, yeah.
That one right there. Oh, I was like putting them together while you was reading.
Oh, yeah. Definitely, because the sounds and colors. So that was like the third eye with a little bit of the throat chakra a little bit. Oh, that's interesting.
And you got the fifth one with the progressive states of manifesting.
And when I think the inside and outside of objects for the first dimension, it makes me think of the atom, or it makes me think of the microcosm to the macrocosm. Understanding like the basics of energy. The scientific part sounds very first dimension. We're talking about like the inside of objects. Second dimension being related to the five senses.
Yeah, things, that's the touch, the see and
right,
touch.
Things that can be seen and touched. Right. And then the third dimension, they have thoughts and feelings. And they're saying that this is where most humans live, and it's about the humans and their relationships to each other as well as to the things around them. Fourth dimension, mountaintop consciousness is what it has here. This is the natural state of mankind, the state he resides in unless external events consume his awareness. This is where life should be lived every day. Having that mountaintop consciousness that looks over in and through everything and gives the facility to enjoy and participate fully in the world while knowing at all times exactly where we are in the mind. I wonder, so let me see what fifth dimension says, because I often hear people talking about ascending to the fifth dimension. So the fifth dimension says the mind of light, the perspective that all is well in the world, the experience that everything is as it should be, perfect right now, is the fifth dimension. In this state, we realize a great bliss, a comprehensive, all-encompassing acceptance of the universe as it is, which reveals that the whole of existence is working proportionately one with another. Everything belongs.
Everything belongs, yeah.
So this is like, so literally 5D. Fifth dimension. And I definitely believe like there are some of us right now that are living in the fifth dimension.
Oh, and absolutely.
It's hard to stay there because it's like, I definitely have my days where I bump back into the fourth dimension.
it's like that. Nothing's wrong. And yeah, I try to stay there. Everything belongs. It's looks like it's falling apart, but it's okay. It's supposed to.
Yes.
So it's just wow. Okay.
I really like that.
Yeah.
This is saying the fifth dimension is powerful because it eradicates concepts of imperfection in the flash vision of perfect harmony of all things. It is pure insight. Then insight is translated to the fourth dimension where it can be comprehended by the outer consciousness of man. Metaphysicians call the fifth dimension the mind of light, for it is the superconscious area from which the clear white light is inwardly seen to fill the head. Others call it God.
But woo! And I definitely think that we do live among some of those people.
Oh my gosh, yes. Oh wow. Yeah, that is really interesting. Okay. So, sixth dimension, the world of sounds and colors. The sixth dimension is color, sound, and vibration, as well as subtle forms and beings composed of the elements. The colors of the sixth dimension are unlike colors we have ever seen on the surface of the earth. They are brighter, yet more subtle, and they mix and mingle. In other words, colors pass into and through each other, creating exquisite varieties of color with form. The beautiful acnic body of light, that pure inner body, exists in the sixth dimension.
Mm.
Oh, wow. They say here that a lot of mystics often have deep six-dimensional experiences, but they can't always recall the experience later.
Because this one, it can be one of those ones, you know, like with meditating, you may go deep into it for like a minute or so, and then you come out of it. So it's like you're not staying there the entire time.
Definitely not. It's saying that the sixth dimension is a guarded area of the mind and less accessible than other states. The gates to these realms are guarded by fierce and apparently demonic creatures, and entrance is only so gained once it is earned. The best way to earn access into the sixth dimension is to come in from the seventh. Oh, the best way to gain audience with the king is to be a king yourself. Better not to consciously open the psychic centers of the sixth dimension, but to understand the realm. When the time is right, experience will come of itself. It is far easier anyway to enter the equally blissful seventh dimension by entering Simsham Bui. I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce that, but it means energy in the spine and from there into pure consciousness. It sounds like Kundalini.
Mm-hmm.
The bliss of the seventh dimension is quite different from that of the sixth. So they're saying, now it does say the super conscious plane of the sixth dimension is situated at the third eye chakra, but it's saying it's best to enter in from the seventh,
which is the endless inner space.
And you know what? A lot of times there are people that say, you know, don't mess around when it comes to opening your third eye if you're not ready. And it makes sense because going up these dimensions, so we just left the throat chakra, which has a lot to do with sound and color and vibration. But entering into the third eye without the knowledge of spirit, which is that seventh chakra, I can definitely see things getting a little bit confusing because matter has ascended so far all the way up to the throat chakra, but you definitely need that super God-given consciousness to come from, that wisdom to come mm-hmm. from the seventh chakra to meet you at the sixth chakra.
Right.
To get the best out of it, I think.
What's her name? The Eastern religion meets Western religion.
Oh, Judith.
Western mind. She says that she had a client that had LSD overdose that was too strong, and it opened her up, and she wasn't ready. And how she had to work. She was working with her to try to, you know, help her. And she was, but it didn't last. It was like driving her crazy because she had opened herself up from it. And so she didn't. And so definitely if you're not ready, definitely. Oh, yeah. And you can tap into things like that and it can open you up, because sometimes you might start seeing different things. A whole right. lot of different things start going on. But she did LSD. She sure did. So that's exactly what it is. I definitely can see why you shouldn't open that up first.
And you know what? It's so crazy how spirit works, because I was going to text you about this and we can talk about it more offline, but I had been thinking about, remember we were talking about Reiki and getting the classes and stuff together to mm-hmm. teach Reiki. And I was saying, so you guys, Toya and I was having a conversation about Reiki, and I was telling her, we were talking about whether we wanted Reiki 1 to be one class for the day, or if we wanted to break it down into two classes. Mm-hmm. And I was just telling her that, you know, after thinking about it, I really do think it would be best to break it down into 2 days, because I want that first day to be purely educational. Mm-hmm. I don't want people coming to class and then you're just ready to walk out of there with this attunement and a certification.
Mm-hmm.
I want mm-hmm. to introduce it properly, give you that education, let it sit with you overnight, and then the next day we can worry about attuning and all of that.
Yeah, because you're going to think about it all night, everything that you've learned.
Exactly. It's really mm-hmm. going to seek in. And two, if there are any experiences that spirit may want you to have, there's opportunity for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so, okay, so anyway, I ended up thinking about that more because I really was focused on cultural appropriation this week. And really understanding the difference between appropriation and appreciation. Mm-hmm. And although I am Reiki Master Certified and everything, I still love to lay the groundwork. It's so important to talk about where these concepts and these philosophies come from mm-hmm. and give the credit where the credit is due. And the reason why I brought that up is because when you think about the chakras just from a Western standpoint, the advice to not just jump into the third eye chakra is mm-hmm. not all that prevalent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, oh, these are your chakras. You need to open them up so mm-hmm. you can be balanced and get this Kundalini rising. There's all of that. But when doing the research and understanding the true Hindu way of mm-hmm. doing it, they are saying, no, you need to enter into that chakra from the seventh chakra. And I don't even know if I've come across any Western teachings that teach that you should skip like that. Like to say, oh, no.
I've never heard that.
Me neither.
Uh-uh.
Me neither. And so I find that so, so interesting. And that's why we have to know the foundations of where our information comes from. Why right. are we believing mm. in the beliefs that we have? Who said it and where is it from?
And you have to be mindful of who's doing your readings and who you're allowing in your energy, because now that makes me think about that lady. She was really good. Remember the lady that I saw at the Blue Barn?
Yes.
And she told me, she was like, I scared her. She was like, oh, she said, oh, you can see everything. And she said, but I don't want to take it off. Now, she could have. She said you have a protection over you. She said you, it's like a hat, a covering over your head. But she said as you continue to learn and study more, it's going to start to open itself.
Mm-hmm.
But I can open it for you. She said, but it'll be so much because you can see everything.
Right.
Now, what if she didn't do that?
Mm-hmm.
I would have been out here probably like lost my mind. I think right.
And that's why, like, literally they're saying in the article about when the time is right, mm-hmm. the experience will come of itself. You don't have to force this psychic center to open for you. And
right. But see, at that time, you know, wanting to, you know, with the mediumship and everything, and mm-hmm. just like, I'm like, oh, there they, oh, this is happening. This happened. This, oh my goodness. So I'm off, you know, I'm fascinated with the spiritual realm and the deceased and things like that. So it's like, yep, come on, open me up. Let me, come on now, open it all the way because it's moving too slow.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's yes. moving too slow. Like, oh, I haven't had no type of interaction in a minute. Oh no, this mm-hmm. moving too slow. Mm-hmm. But I'm very grateful. I'm so grateful that she didn't. She knew enough, like, oh no, because and mm-hmm. she said, you'll walk out of here, you'll see everything. And it's like, she said, it's like, you know, you have that spiritual realm and then you have this earthly realm, but it'll all be all mixed in together.
Right.
And that's so a lot. There was no way at that time I would have been ready for any of that. That was like, what, 5, 6, 7 years ago?
I was going to say, yeah, that was quite some time.
8 years. That was a long time ago. And so I'm so appreciative of that.
Mm-hmm.
That she didn't do it. She knew that, to me, she knew what she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then even right here, you come in right here and they're like, oh, don't go that directly that way. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Going through the seventh dimension where you're spiritually ready to deal with that and know how to actually handle what you're seeing and what you're hearing. We actually handling it the correct way.
Yes. Yes.
So you have to be mindful of, you know, your readings and things like that. Now, and hopefully, prayerfully, you know, they know what they're doing.
I hope so. You know. I hope so.
Because like you said, when we talk about chakras, even with, even when we're trying to align everything and open up everything, like you said, nobody's mm-hmm. telling you not to open up your third eye. Nobody's, it's like, open it, see, you see it all. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. Nobody's, I don't recall ever reading that. In our study, I don't recall ever reading any of that.
Me neither. Me neither.
That's why you need a little bit of a lot, a little bit of different things to try to kind of get it all.
Oh, yeah. And to take your time.
Mm-hmm.
To take your time with it. So the seventh dimension, the seventh chakra would be pure inner space. And here there are no patterns. The seventh dimension is a silent world. Only the air exists there and not the smoke, only pure energy, which is equivalent to pure space. It goes on to say that entering the seventh dimension, we enter realms of knowledge resulting from superconscious perceptions of the superconscious itself. It mm-hmm. would be the heaven world of the gods themselves, their retreating place. The seventh dimension does not look back into the fifth dimension at all. It does look into the sixth and deeper into the eighth, ninth, 10th, 11th, and 12th, which exist in a completely different realm, a different universe, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And all of this takes place within you, within the wonderful mind of man,
mm-hmm.
your mind. Everything learned must be forgotten in order to enter the seventh dimension. There are no concepts there, no feelings, no thoughts, no unfolding anyone, just pure space or pure consciousness. So in that sublime state, there is nothing to do except to let consciousness be aware of itself and finally swallow itself.
Mm.
Then the self alone remains. After that, total elimination of consciousness into the nothingness of being. Pure consciousness returns, forgets itself, and travels back into the mind, flows into the fifth dimension, flows out to the fourth, looks into the third and second, and becomes involved. The whole thing starts over again for you. So it's like being born again.
Mm-hmm.
Like once you've made it all the way up to the top where it's just you and all there is to experience is you, then you split. You go right back down and do it all over again.
Mm-hmm.
That is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh.
That's so good. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That is a whole different way of looking at pure consciousness. I don't think I've ever quite looked at the seventh chakra like that. But it goes back to confirm what Neil Donald Walsh would say, like in writing God's responses.
Mm-hmm.
And God's like, it's not this or that. Like, you know, I'm not judging mm-hmm. at all. It's not good or bad.
It's not good or bad. Right.
So and, yeah.
And that's, and you know, wrapping your brain around that, that's interesting too, because you know, you haven't heard of it before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he also says, that he calls them masters. You're a master now at that point.
Yeah.
And so what you're saying, he said that it's called letting go and letting God, the God in you.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says the master always prefers what's occurring. They have, you have intentions, but no expectations.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't prefer results. You prefer whatever is occurring.
Yes.
And so that's the everything belongs.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And trust that the perfect thing will occur. That's what you're trusting. This perfect yes. experience is going to happen.
Yes.
And so you have to get there. And that's why I say I do believe that we do live among masters.
Mm-hmm.
Those enlightened, enlightened beings. But I think that it's amazing to get all the way there to where you're just like, everything belongs.
Everything.
And you know, belongs. You're just okay with everything. Yes. But you're also the creator as well. You know, at the, mm-hmm. you're also creating from, because you're a super conscious.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. That is awesome.
Mm.
So I hope that this gives a good representation and comprehension of mm-hmm. what consciousness is and the difference between consciousness, subconsciousness, unconsciousness, and superconsciousness
mm-hmm.
and relating it back to the chakras and the different dimensions that we can experience, and it's all based on your awareness.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine if you're at the root chakra and that's that first dimension is the only dimension that you see, versus if you've ascended all the way up to that sound light of the throat chakra and mm-hmm. then you look down. You're mm-hmm. going to have so much more wisdom regarding the chakra under that, which is the heart. Mm-hmm. And then under that, the solar plexus. Under that, the mm-hmm. sacral. You know, like all of that wisdom mm-hmm. trickles back down. So when you are looking back, you have so much more wisdom and awareness to see things because the perspective, the awareness is higher.
Mm-hmm.
Literally. Higher.
Yeah.
So you can look down, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Versus if you're only on that first dimension, everything is at eye level.
Mm-hmm.
But that is beautiful. Mm. I love it.
I do.
I love that. I hope just you guys
growth
enjoyed that.
Just growing.
Yes.
Constantly growing.
Yes. Constantly growing. Constantly growing. And what do you guys think? You know, let us know in the comments. Mm-hmm. Again, you could always shoot us an email at gobeyondyourbeliefs@gmail.com. We are on Instagram at beyond_your_beliefs. So hit us up on there. Please follow us, like, share, subscribe to the podcast. what do you guys think about what we mentioned today? We want to know. We want to communicate with you guys. What are your thoughts about consciousness? And where are you on your chakra journey? And do you have thoughts about what we mentioned last week about the law of attraction and mm-hmm. how that works? Just let mm-hmm. us know. We want to chat.
Absolutely. We look forward to hearing everything that you guys have to say.
Yes.
And we can discuss it.
Always. And please remember, the theme of the show is to go beyond your beliefs. So be open and just listen and mm-hmm. eat the meat and spit out the bones. That's all we ask.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. So thank you so much for listening to the show. We appreciate it.
I know. Thank you guys for sharing the space with us.
Definitely. And we will catch you guys in the next episode.
All right.
Bye.
Later.